Well, we had asked to have the red line, whatever we're
using,
we can see what's being changed without trying to compare it word for word.
Right. And that, I think that, you know, I didn't, since Fuller's office, John Fuller's office was doing 407, I didn't want to step on his toes, so. Yes. I think the red lines would come from his office.
Yeah, 625 is the last one I have here.
Yeah, that one did not have any red lines.
That was not redlined, no.
And were there changes? So that one was after, the one I got was June 23rd, was before the Planning Commission meeting.
I have Thursday, June 20th. Oh, that's when it came from John. John Fuller, Milford Township, Bob DiLorenzo, Stryan, Nancy, myself.
John forwarded Nancy's comments.
June 25th at 1:57 p.m. That's what I have in my packet.
Yep, that's what's here on the table.
Okay. Now, in what I brought with me is also same one. So I don't believe there was any redlined version of the final draft. There was of the June 9th draft.
Right.
Well, the red line that I got today from the office of the June 9th, it had Nancy's
comments,
thoughts,
which were incorporated after our planning meeting. And then John finalized it on the 25th.
Right,
because we left the meeting saying that John's going to finalize it and forward it to him. So yeah, you're correct, Rachel. You did ask for stuff to be read
multiple times. You know, it's very difficult to look at documents this long and to be looking at the data center ordinance at the same time as this, with multiple versions of it flying. It's just not helpful to get it moved forward quickly.
Maybe what we can do.
Yeah, what happened was when you put that in there, he was already away. He's away for this week too, but if we need him.
Yeah, maybe when we get
that's
John
what happened.
Back,
he wasn't at the office.
Maybe he can take the June 9th one and just show us where the changes were. Because I think most of your additions, Nancy, were separate sections, were they not?
The lighting and glare. They are. Let's see. Like the big, there were some of my comments were incorporated into the body, and then I'm just looking through the draft now. The big ones were separate sections. Yes, Tony. The lighting
and glare
is like an entirely new, like different section. And then I think the water resources.
And the water resource.
Water supply is somewhat new. And then the water, land surface and groundwater protection. 407.11.
Mm-hmm.
Land surface and groundwater protection. That was an existing section, so there were some modifications to that. And then water supply is, I think, new, because that's where we referred to the data center.
Right.
Where the data center ordinance requires the water feasibility study, so that's new.
Right.
So lighting, water supply.
So this would have to go in tandem.
With. Data.
The data centers.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be moved forward until the other part is moved forward.
Correct.
And does this cross-reference with 426, Nancy?
It does not.
And
no, it does not. It cross-references the data centers where the data center ordinance requires that the applicant would do the groundwater feasibility study and the pre-development, like, you know, well drilling to demonstrate that they would have the supply and the monitoring wells, and then they're on the hook if they were to, you know, deplete anybody's well or contaminate wells. So that's where that, it's not referencing 426 though.
Which it probably should, because that's our water protection ordinance. That has a lot of standards that, I mean, not having cross-referenced them myself, I would think, though, that that would have a potential to conflict if it wasn't done with the other part of mine.
That's an automatic, though, if it's in the overlay.
Automatic if it's in the water protection ordinance. They have to go by whichever one is more strict. But we should do our best to try not to have conflicting.
Well,
so where did
I thought we brought that up when we talked about 407.11. When we added that sentence about applications and some supporting documentation being forwarded to the municipal authority of the borough of Milford, didn't we also talk about cross-referencing 426 in
407.12
and 407.11
on the second page, D2D says 420. You know, C 426 written there.
Oh, there is a cross reference to 426. Yeah. All uses.
So, what drove the lighting changes, and what are we changing in a synopsis?
For the lighting, we put in just a more comprehensive standards for lighting, and that's. Largely, I mean, that's just up to date. It's based on a model from the Dark Skies. What is it called? The Dark Skies Association. And that's largely being driven in a lot of municipalities by data centers and warehouses and uses of that nature that require some
extreme
intense lighting.
So when you say that, Nancy, I mean, our lighting was pretty specific about the lights not leaving the property and things like that. Before, are you saying that they allow that this would allow for more stronger lighting? Or
no, it would. It's the same in that it restricts lighting glare beyond the property line. But it also, I think, has up to date standards in terms of, you know, making the lighting point downward and protecting the dark skies and protecting neighboring properties from any spillover. Glare.
I thought our existing ordinance had already required that.
Yeah, this one goes a little heavier to make sure it's. We even talked about dimming the lights down when it's not needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and having like automatic dimmers on, and so after hours, the uses have to either turn their lights off depending on.
The safety
The type of business, and if they need security lighting after hours, then that's addressed here.
And no more than 25%.
Yeah.
And the noise also looks like it was expounded on, was that, was the noise section also changed?
Noise section, what section number is that? Sorry.
407.5.
407.5, let me go up to 407.5. Then I don't think that the noise section here was changed. We didn't change it here. In the data center ordinance, there is, the data center ordinance has noise standards that address the low frequency sound that comes from data centers, the low frequency humming sound that people complain about. But in this, we didn't change this noise section, unless John put any changes in. I don't think that he did, though. I recall talking about this, and I believe that that noise, 475, that noise section was left as is.
I think if there was a change, the only change would have been to make the hours consistent with what was in the present ordinance.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing
that's the only change I think was made in that section.
Right.
And the other change we did was we moved where Milford Municipal Authority gets the review of it, just that it's passed on to them for review. We took them out of the one section where it would have given them some power.
Switching over to the data center.
Okay.
Oh, boy. One of my questions was how the changes compare to the noise requirements in the existing 407. Because I thought that noise couldn't go beyond the property line, but the data center ordinance seems to make it possible for noise to go outside the property line.
We've never had it where noise couldn't go across the property line, because it's impossible to do.
Impossible to do.
Well, we had that with smoke, and that's even more impossible to do.
and the only way you can work on that is a buffer zone, which we have in there to cover.
We have a really light buffer zone in that data center ordinance at 100 feet.
No, because it varies by what you're looking at. 100 feet, that's quite a distance.
Yeah, it is.
Considering our normal one is only, 50 feet? So it's double. And if they need to, they'll have to cover, let's say they need 15 feet around the building, so they're going to have to cover like 85 feet buffer zone if there's a problem with any sound or anything. But each one's going to be looked at, you know. You got to set your buffer zone accordingly. But straight off the bat, it's a minimum of a 50-foot buffer zone.
Right, a minimum.
Yep.
Which is where they're all going to come in at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to come in saying, oh, we'll give you 500 feet.
No.
No.
You're going to want that 50 feet.
They're going to want to max the development as big as they can get it.
Yeah.
So,
well, even the extra 50 feet isn't, they can't develop it. It's a setback.
They can put, it looked like dumpsters, parking.
Not in the setback.
Stormwater basins.
Not in the setback. Well, stormwater.
In 50 feet of the setback.
And 50 feet of the setback. No, the 100 foot was the setback. Now you can put your stormwater basins in that setback. And you can put your septic system in the setback.
I did ask Mike Bellow about the 15 additional feet. The fire department doesn't have any issue with it, although they can't handle it. All the neighboring facilities that, you know, all the neighboring mutual aid would.
Right.
Rachel, what would the fire company, what was Mike referencing when he mentioned neighboring mutual aid? What don't they have that?
The height, to get to that additional.
So they would need a ladder truck to reach that height.
Right.
Lumens has one, Mammers has one, Forgers has one.
Right, but they don't.
Okay.
They don't.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yep.
Take all three of them 100-footers.
Who has them, Blooming Grove?
I think Mammers, Forgers, and Damon's are all 100-foot ladders.
Yeah, I think Blooming Grove's got one too.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it too, yeah.
Yes, you keep that in mind.
Receiving land uses, I was wondering what's meant by the receiving land use? Is that the property on which the data center is located, or is that the adjacent property?
We can't hear you.
Yeah, we lost. So
you're on mute, Nancy.
So the receiving land use is the land use that is receiving the sound. So let's say you have a house that's adjacent to the data center property, and that house, the resident of that house says they're experiencing noise. That's the receiving land use. Or, you know, they could be some further greater distance away from the data center. They don't have to be adjacent. If you get a complaint, let's say, from that land use, a residence, a business, anything, and they complain to the township saying, we're hearing this noise from this data center, that is what the receiving land use is.
Okay.
If you notice in the table, it says the zoning district of the receiving land use. So if that land use is in the RD district, you know, again, let's say you get a complaint from a resident, and they are in the RD district, then 50 dBA and 60 dBC are the limits for daytime, and 45 and 55 are the limits for the nighttime. If that residence is in the LG district, then those corresponding limits apply. And if they're in the DD district, then those other limits apply.
How does the 150-day residential day vibration curve work?
That I honestly do not know. So this section, the noise and the vibration, came from an acoustical engineer who's an expert in sound and vibration.
So this came from Penn Futures, or this is something that you worked with an acoustical engineer to come up with?
That is something that worked with an acoustical engineer to come up with. Actually, he came up with it. I did not come up with it, because this acoustics is really a very in-depth science. And so the expert came up with it, not me. Although I questioned him on some of that, but this comes from him.
So why wouldn't we require them to build it so that the vibration doesn't go beyond the property line?
Let's see. Vibration on any property or any structure. I think, you know, I believe, and I can double check with him, but I believe that I recall him saying he has given expert witness testimony in case after case across the country on sound and vibration levels in zoning ordinances. And I'm trying to recall if he addressed that question about at the property line. And I believe there's some reason for it being able to, it's measured at the place that's receiving the noise rather than at the property line. I think that it just holds up in court better if the noise is measured at the receiving use.
We've had the property lines in the past, and the problem was always enforcement.
Yeah.
How do you enforce it at the property line?
Yeah, we went through that with the gas company up there on that house.
Yep.
When they put that...
Put that wall up to get rid of the sound, which
did help, but...
I think it helped. Well, it helped a lot.
Yeah.
It helped a lot. At that point, the homeowner was just wanted out.
Yep. He got what he wanted and away he went. He went down south and bought another one.
They did address the problem.
Yes, they did.
So 427.11a, this ordinance allows irrevocable letters of credit. Irrevocable letters of credit do expire, and they can be rendered unusable. They're not always worth the paper that they're written on. And what about bankruptcy scenarios? I don't personally believe that we should be accepting letters of credit on this.
That's
427.11,
you
said? Yeah,
427.11A.
Which deals with financial security for water supply.
Determined by professional engineer. Irrevocable letter of credit, any form of financial security.
While you're looking for that, I would say, why are we agreeing to pay fees for additional estimates? We're then allowing them to run up the expenses for the residents to bear.
I think that language comes out of the financial security section of the MPC.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think all of this might come out of the MPC.
It does.
Yeah.
But the financial security has to be acceptable to the Board of Supervisors. So it could be, I don't believe it says, the security shall be in the form of a bond, escrow account.
Or an irrevocable letter of credit.
Or an irrevocable letter of credit. But I think the way it's worded in the statute is the security could be in the form of a bond, cash, escrow account, or irrevocable letter of credit, provided the same is acceptable to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
So I think that's the language in the statute, if I recall it.
So we could strike a letter of credit.
Yeah.
And be
yes. It has to be to our satisfaction.
Okay. And well,
the next sentence says any form of financial security must be acceptable to the Board of Supervisors and Council.
But the second it's written in the ordinance, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask, do we have the legal authority to keep financial security forever, as this ordinance provides?
As long as it's in the developer's agreement and they sign off on it, yes.
So again, that's an enforceability issue.
Yep.
What time is it?
58. So 427.13G, we're only strongly encouraging them to provide special equipment for the fire department's use, not requiring it. Why would we only strongly encourage it?
We can't, I believe we can't legally require them to do that.
Although I hope that changes soon, with the rash of fires we've had.
427.17.
17?
We are making them remove the building. That seems a little excessive. I could see them removing solar panels if you had them as an ancillary power source, mm-hmm. or something of that nature, but this appears as if we're making them tear down the building, which would be otherwise a standard office building with a higher electrical capacity than most. It certainly doesn't seem to me like it would make any sense whatsoever to do that, and I would have to think it would be completely unenforceable, because it would be viewed as an excessive condition that we don't really have the authority to do.
This was discussed already.
Yep.
And I agree.
And 12 months of vacancy only? That's mm-hmm. absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Think about how long Altec Lansing was vacant before Econopac went in. Think about the Luna Teresa's building on the 3-lane and how long that was vacant. 12 months of vacancy is absolutely ludicrous.
What was the vestment factory?
That's 427.17(2A)(2).
Yeah.
And again, in section D there, we're putting expenses on the taxpayers rather than the project. But you're saying that the law doesn't allow us not to?
All right, so what section are you in where it's saying the building has to be decommissioned?
As decommissioning, it's
427.17.
And then 2A(2). Where we're giving them only 12 months of vacancy before they'd have to take the building down?
No. I think our discussion was for purposes of having the data center use decommissioned, not the building.
Not the building.
When you're tearing it down and restoring the site mm-hmm. to, even the grading and the grass, that doesn't sound like you're not asking them to take the building down. I think maybe we at least need to button up the language to...
Yeah, AI says removal of all computer servers and other computer equipment, hazardous substances, structures, or equipment, which contain any hazardous substance at all other structures, excluding principal buildings.
I thought that we said they didn't have to...
Yeah. Exactly.
That they did not have to...
We had a long discussion about it.
Yeah, that first A, it was about if they started construction and then stopped. It wasn't a finished project.
Okay. So in F, my question was how are we gonna enforce that? And if they don't pay taxes, do we think a letter of credit is gonna be usable? And when it's sheriff sailed to a new entity, are we gonna be able to enforce it? I'm sure it's 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah. Call a meeting of the Milford Township Supervisors to order with Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the minutes.
Recording in progress.
Approval of the meeting minutes from June 15th.
I'll make a motion we approve the minutes from June 15th.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed. Treasurer's report.
Sure. Thank you. After the last meeting, I received $13,825.92 from real estate taxes and $2,304.32 from ambulance taxes. In the Wayne Bank account, there is $3,836.30 in the payroll account, $9,964.54 in the investment account, $30,821.87 in the ambulance account, and in the NBT Bank, there is $18,388.22 in the checking account, and $16,558.03 in the money market account. And in the Fliegate account, there is $368,457.18 in the general account and $74,082.54 in the liquid fuels account. That's all.
Okay, also under the Treasury report, I'd like to make a motion we transfer $10,000 from the Pledge of General Fund to the MBT checking fund for paying bills.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed.
Shahana, did we file our second quarter county report for ambulance match?
Second quarter county match was not received. We did our payment.
Did you file the report, though, to get
yes.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And have we paid our Q3 yet?
No.
Probably not, right? There's no reason why we wouldn't want to get that done now.
Okay.
It's the beginning of the quarter, and they're still waiting for the county money from Q2, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
From Master's report. Last couple of weeks has been a kind of strange year for as far as trees down, branches down. We've been trying to do some patching, keeping up with the roads and stuff. It's been a busy couple of weeks. We had a We were fortunate over the weekend. We got a lot of rain. We got over 5 inches of rain. We really had no bad disasters. We did have some trees. Kevin called me about a couple in the last couple of weeks. They like to fall down up by his place. But we've been keeping up with them, and everything's pretty cleaned up. We had a big one come down in the old Milford Road the other day. That was about 3 foot in diameter. So, but the weather's been rough on the trees.
Neighbors cut it up.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Middle Smithfield had a tornado.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw the pictures of that.
They've still got over 4,000 people as of today without yeah. power.
Our Ravenscale out here got hammered real bad, too.
How many?
Over 4,000.
In the township?
No.
Middle Smithfield Township.
Middle Smithfield. Smithfield.
Oh, that whole area is like a war zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that over the weekend.
Over Montague, they got hit pretty hard coming down the road right there along the river. I counted 17 trees down there yesterday morning when I come back from the campgrounds. They got slammed pretty hard down through there.
River Road and Clove Road are closed.
Yeah, River Road's where I counted 17 trees down on River Road yesterday morning. They had them all cleaned up, as this county did. But it was quite a disaster down through there. So. Okay, moving on to zoning.
I didn't receive any new zoning permits since the last meeting.
Public participation. Kev?
This doesn't have anything to do with township stuff, really.
Thank you, bud.
Veterans Memorial
Thank
Park
you.
And Education oh, Center dedicated a monument to women veterans.
Yes.
Thank
There's
you.
Only two in the state. One in Holmesdale and one in Clay County.
Oh,
and I
cool.
just want you to be.
That's great.
This is actually a sister monument to the one that was done in Holmesdale. And I just wanted your permission to leave these on the table inside and let people know about it. If you have a chance,
cool.
If you have a chance, go over and look at the park. The truth is there's not another park that's dedicated to so many monuments and so many different conflicts and wars that
looks great.
There isn't anything like it in the region, really.
No, it's beautiful.
So,
it's
right
beautiful.
Here.
They're very thorough. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Secretary's report.
Sure, thank you. Since the last meeting, I have received the road task force and COG meeting agendas and minutes from Mr. Mazinski, a change of assessment report from the Pike County Assessment Office, a code violations letter from UGI, a certificate of coverage from PERMA, information from the Pike County Assessment Office regarding changes due to the veteran exemption, information from the Pocono Environmental Education Center about family camp weekends, an offer of assistance for automated two-way communication software, notification from H.A. Thompson Company that the treasurer's bond increase application has been approved and that the new bond limit will be $600,000, and 2026 ratio change notifications from the Pike County Assessment Office for two properties. And that's all.
Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you. Old business, hydrant fee implementation. Make a motion we take this off the agenda. Since we don't hear anything from them.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, so passed. Zoning fees.
But the fees that we had at the last meeting, I added the signature to the bottom.
I thought that you and Tony were going to work together on some language on a final version.
We did.
Oh, that's the language that Tony provided input on?
Yeah, he told me what he was looking for, and I wrote it, and I sent it to him. I asked him if he was good with it. He said, yeah.
Okay.
Right, Tony? Laura, you got to change your mind.
No, this is... Are we still doing it by zone? No, okay.
So I had a couple questions because there are a couple of uses on this version that weren't on the old version. Large warehouses and data centers, which are both conditional uses.
Right.
The way that we had the old one, I think... If you were a principal permitted use, you had a use-related fee on the schedule, and if you were conditional, you were only charged a conditional. But there are fees on here for a couple of uses that are conditional uses, the large warehouses and the data centers
right,
being among them.
Right, because you still have your zoning officer doing the full review of everything.
So those fees are meant to be in addition
in
to
addition
the conditional
to the,
use
right.
fees. But then there are other uses that are conditional uses that don't have extra fees.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we make it clear that we're charging both fees, the conditional use and the use itself. And the other thing that I didn't see on there that is brand new is we didn't used to have these planned commercial development units that we now have as a use, and they're going to be really complicated reviews.
Right.
We probably should, if we're going to be charging both fees for large warehouses and we're going to be charging both fees for data centers, we probably also should be charging a fee for that in addition to the conditional use fee. Does that make sense? I did, and I can pull it up on my computer if you want. My son did go through for me and try to make comparisons, and it looked like all the fees were directly in between Westfall and Chihola. So they weren't higher than either one,
right.
And they weren't lower than either one. They were in the middle of the two. In some cases, Chihola was higher. In some cases, they were higher. The other thing that I don't think we have that Chihola has, and I understand why Chihola has it, but that we maybe should consider, was the mobile home part.
Mm-hmm.
We have no fee on our schedule for mobile homes. And I don't know how that would work in terms of trying to charge them the residential. And I don't think we have one for a mobile home park. We only have them for a subdivision.
Yeah.
So if the whole park is owned by one entity,